Well, hello, this is Melanie, and on this recording there are some ideas and suggestions for all of you who are planning to follow the 12 Holy Nights process this December. Firstly, it would be useful to download the notes from my website if you haven't already done so. And if you look at the calendar first, you'll see that we start with an introduction on the 24th, which is Christmas Eve. And then you'll see that the following 12 full days are each one devoted to one sign of the zodiac, starting with Capricorn and ending with Sagittarius. Now, there are other ways of following this sequence, some of which I've tried myself, but this is the one that seems to have the most resonance in terms of the theme of transition from the outgoing and welcoming the incoming. So, firstly, just to say that this is a very flexible process, and it can be done in a whole variety of ways, and it's really up to you to individually set for yourself the kind of structure that will work for you where you are in your life now, geographically and emotionally and so forth. For example, amongst the many times that I've done this process now, I've covered a pretty full spectrum of different styles of doing it. So, I really do know how flexible it can be. And at one end of that spectrum, there was one time when I did it as a really serious retreat, and, you know, I kind of shut up shop completely, as it were, for the full 12 days. And I went into silence, and I didn't listen to the radio or watch television or read or use the computer or talk to anybody at all. I did allow myself to read things which had immediate bearing on what I was contemplating and studying, and I did allow myself to write in my journal. In fact, your journal is a wonderful companion through this 12 days, and I'd invite you to use it very fully. Some people even like to have a sort of special 12 Holy Nights journal, which can encompass not only this time that you do it, but perhaps other times in the future if you find that the process really speaks to you. So when I did it in this very monastic kind of way, it was like entirely existing for that time in this very rarefied and what felt like very inspiring little bubble, a kind of time out of time. And it was profoundly renewing and transformative for me. On the other end of the spectrum, I once did it when I had a very busy time over Christmas and New Year as well. And that was all kinds of social events and, you know, cooking for friends and traveling and visiting and doing all kinds of really quite extroverted things. And I almost deliberately set that up to see whether it would be possible to sustain the thread of this 12 Holy Nights, Holy Days process throughout. And indeed, to my delight and surprise, it certainly was possible, and moreover, it gave a wonderful feeling of just how very profound is this very well-known symbolism of the whole zodiac, because it does represent a kind of procession of 12 archetypal energies, which really are infused right into our daily life if we allow them to be. And really all it takes is the intention to follow that thread and to engage your capacity for symbolic thinking as you go. What's also very nice about this process is that it goes equally well for people who are really knowledgeable about astrology and the zodiac, and you know, maybe have even been professional astrologers for a while or whatever. And it also goes really well for people who have never studied astrology and have never read many books or been to many classes and so forth. Because if you think about it, the whole structure of the zodiac is something that's very present in what Jung would have called the collective unconscious. It's a very ancient organization of symbolic forms that in one way or another has been part of pretty much every culture on the planet. Every culture has their own star lore, and we do find the zodiac and its symbols amazingly present in widely disparate cultures who over the centuries have envisioned some of the constellations in a very, very similar way. And although that, of course, has been through its own evolution, there is something very universal about these signs. Just astronomically, it's symbolically noteworthy that the constellations, which are called the zodiac constellations, are the ones that are found very close to the path of where the sun would appear to go. This is looking at it from an earth-centered point of view. And so there's a very universal meaning about the fact that the zodiac encompasses the path of the sun, the apparent path of the sun around the whole earth. So that's a few preliminary thoughts. Now, as to what you do in terms of contemplating and studying each one of the 12 signs, you know, again, that's very much up to you as an individual and how you would like to do it. Now, on the notes on the website, there is a book list of quite a number of different titles that in one way or another focus on the zodiac. And in fact, it would be almost impossible to read every single one of them and kind of learn it all and know it all and so forth. But actually, that's not the point. If you only feel like reading one book, and in a way one, if it's a good book, is all you need, I would recommend The Pulse of Life by Dane Rudyard. And that, I think, is out of print at the moment, although you can pick it up used copies. And it was for a while available as a free download on the website Khaldea.com, that's Khaldea.com. Or if you Google around that title, you might pick it up somewhere as an ebook. It's very simple and very beautiful and very evocative. So, back again to, well, what do you do? If you feel like reading about the signs, and that's a very nice way to get your mind engaged with that sign of the zodiac. If you are going to read, in general, while you're actually doing the whole sequence, it's a good idea to only focus on the sign that belongs to the day of its major focus. So if you want to do preparation reading beforehand, you know, of course, read as much as you like, but during the process, maybe experiment with just focusing on that one sign. And Another thing you might do together with that is if you look on the internet, you will find a sequence of images by the artist called Jofra, J-O-H, F for Freddy, R-A. And he was a most extraordinary painter who produced an astounding series of 12 images of the signs of the zodiac. They're very well-known images, actually, and 2 or 3 decades ago, you'd find postcards and posters and pictures of his in all the small alternative bookshops. So many of you will recognize those images from perhaps a while back. So on the day of, let's say, Capricorn, you might want to read a little bit about Capricorn. Maybe look at the picture. And perhaps if there's anything on the picture or anything about what you read that just strikes your imagination, let yourself just write in a kind of free-flowing stream of consciousness way. Just write the thoughts, images, associations that come to mind. If you're someone who likes working with words, let yourself make some little poems, little contemplative verses, just as they come. One very nice thing you can do as regards words is to just let yourself pick one word and then one more word and another word that just rings like a bell in your mind as you are thinking about Capricorn, perhaps looking at an image, or if you know some astrology and know your horoscope, you might want to look at where Capricorn sits on your chart, or if you've got any planets there, and retain, if you can, a kind of spacious and contemplative approach as you do this, and just let one word surface, almost like a fish jumping up out of the water or something, or one bird flying across the sky. Let that one word speak to you. Make a note of it. And then wait and see what the next word might be. And then when you've got a collection of, I don't know, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, however many words, just make a little poem of those words. And there, a nice way to do that is to string the words together using, if possible, no other words at all. Maybe the odd and or but or of or something is okay, but don't add anything. Just see what comes. Treat them as jigsaw pieces. And you know what the picture on the jigsaw puzzle looks like. It's something about whatever sign you're contemplating. We're using Capricorn as our example because that will be the starting point. And just play with the words as if they were pieces of a jigsaw and fit them together this way, that way, however. And do this all spaciously. Take your time. Do it slowly. Remember, there's no goal involved here. You don't have to, like, produce anything at the end or pass an exam or get it right or any of that stuff. You're simply connecting in a variety of ways with the energy of that sign of the zodiac. It's also very interesting to just contemplate the actual symbol itself, particularly for those of you who are visually inclined. So you might want to experiment with just drawing the symbol. See what comes to you as you do that. So I think you get the idea. Now, when I mentioned about how your journal can be such a good companion, I'd invite you to note carefully what you think, what you see, what comes to you, any personal associations. I did this 1 year with an audio diary, which was very interesting. I basically just kept my digital recorder sort of attached to me the whole time, and when something really struck my consciousness or I felt I needed to express some thoughts or words, I just spoke, recorded it. And it was very interesting to go over afterwards. You see, with this approach, we're learning in a very receptive way, and we get lots of little signals that if we're kind of moving too fast or getting too goal-oriented, we just miss them. So that's why it's very useful to just make a note of as much as you can in your journal or with an audio diary thing, whatever way works for you. If you have a little astrological knowledge too, you might notice small synchronous events occurring. That's always very touching, because you can see the actual process of what you're keying into. You can see that coming alive as you lend your consciousness to it, so to speak. So those are some of the actual practical things. Just a couple more things about the zodiac itself. To read about the history of the zodiac is a very interesting endeavor. And there are different views about, you know, where it started and when it started and who was first on the scene and this kind of thing. And that's all very interesting. My own fantasy, and I use that word advisedly because there's no way one could ever quote unquote prove this, but my own fantasy or sense of where it came from is that it was given to mankind like a kind of download from another dimension. So it's my belief, rightly or wrongly, that no matter how far back one could push the history in terms of trying to discover the origins, that we're not going to find it in any definitive sense through that method, because I think that the process that it represents has been revealed to us from outside the realm of time. And of course, history is a time-bound perspective. So from that point of view, you see, our contact with the deeper meaning of what the zodiac is all about is completely immediate, actually. So what it's about is alive in the eternal now, so to speak. And the purest, I'll use that word, strange word, but there we go, the purest connection with it actually comes from the present. So yes, although there's all sorts of inspiring things you can read and study, and especially if you are historically knowledgeable or historically interested, loads of stuff to study in that direction. And yet, this contemplative approach, this is the dimension from which the soul is nourished. And I think you will feel that very quickly when you approach it in that way. This way of learning is essentially receptive, and needless to say, it's not what we're taught in school. And you don't get exams in how to do this stuff, because it's a different way of learning. It's not better than, but it's different. So this is more a right brain way of learning, and it's a very wonderful compliment to any of you who are actually studying astrology or working with it on a regular basis. So I think that's pretty much all I need to say for now. Just one more thing. In the background is a piece of music where I'm playing the harmonium, and there's also a digital tempura running alongside it. And it's a contemplative piece that I'm playing that in fact has the 12 signs of the zodiac as its inspiration, so to speak. Because if you think of a piano and the regular scale starting at middle C, there are actually 12 semitones in the regular Western scale from one octave note to its echo at the higher octave. So this piece kind of burbling along in the background, which you can hear, is simply an improvisation which actually plays all of those 12 notes that are between the octave, all the semitones in the octave. And they're not in any particularly thought out order. I just wanted to improvise on the theme of the zodiac and this 12-foldness of the semitone count in the scale seemed to be, you know, wonderfully congruent with it. So I hope you enjoy it. I'll stop talking now and just leave that recording running to the end so you can hear it without my voice getting in the way. I find for myself that going into a contemplative space through music is often very direct. For me, it seems to sweep my field of consciousness quite clean of all kinds of other things that I might otherwise get sort of stuck with. So I hope you enjoy it and perhaps find the same. And also, if you do this process, I hope you have a very inspiring time with it. And it'll be very nice for those of us who are in Bali to think of all of you all over the place doing this process in your own way. Oh, and yes, I did want to say that I know that several people are going to be gathering little groups of fellow travelers, as it were, around them to share the process. So that's another idea you might want to consider.